Some people get PTSD even though they haven't actually experienced trauma directly. They didn't personally survive an attack or an injury. Maybe they just heard about it. In 2011, Mac McClelland was reporting on sexual assault in Haiti. She interviewed all kinds of women who'd survived rape and other kinds of sexual assault, and just hearing their stories was traumatic. One day when she was driving, one of her sources looked out a window and recognized her attacker. The look on that woman's face triggered Mac's own panic. She tells Doug Gordon the story.
My reaction was that I dissociated. So I was like in the car doing my job, and I felt like I couldn't feel myself in my body. I felt like my actual existence was outside of my flesh. It's a very hard thing to describe, but I could see myself, like I was watching myself through a car window when I was actually the one in the car. And I was so dissociated from myself that like the sort of like ghost version of me outside the window was like, who are those people? And I was one of those people. So it's just a total disconnection from reality, basically. And it's extremely common in all kinds of trauma. People will very often do that. Not always, but it's a common response. It's your body's way of sort of protecting you from something that you can't handle and you really can't process at the time.
And it sounds incredibly surreal and troubling. And I imagine most people would have left the country immediately, but you didn't. Why?
Because I'm an idiot. I mean, you know, I just didn't know. That's the thing, is that we never talk about these things. So there's no part of me that was like, this is dissociation. That's a sign that I've been through something traumatic. I mean, I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what, and I never could have guessed the true extent of it, because we just don't have any cultural knowledge about how trauma works.
And eventually, though, you did leave Haiti to return to the United States, and back at home, your symptoms just got worse.
Oh, yeah. Everything got way worse once I got home, because as bad as I was in Haiti with the crying and the nightmares, I wasn't sleeping, and, you know, I was self-medicating after work when I would get back to the hotel. I was still containing, in a way. Your body is, you know, it's made to survive. And so basically the second I got on the plane and it got like over America, I completely unraveled.
I was surprised to learn how complex PTSD actually is. It doesn't manifest itself simply as this extreme fear of depression, right? For you, it became this complicated cycle of emotions.
Sure. I would become so agitated that I would fantasize about ripping off my skin or ripping off my arms or stabbing myself in the chest. I mean, all sorts of hallucinations. And I had all manner of symptoms. One of the most surprising to me was the way, I mean, I had a lot of sexual dysfunction, which, speaking of things that people never speak about, my God. I mean, I thought I was the only person in the world. Only now I know that that's extremely common, but there was basically no facet of my life that wasn't impacted in some way.
And there was this deeply physical component to your PTSD as well, besides the emotional numbness you experienced, which you've described as feeling like you were made out of cardboard. You were also physically numb.
Yeah, I would lose track of my limbs often, and parts of me would just like disappear. One time it was my whole torso, and that was sort of extra alarming to me. And you just like, you can't feel like you have any substance. And it's like, it feels like TV static or something has replaced your flesh and bones.
So was that terrifying to experience that kind of physical numbness, or did you see it as progress?
No, God, I hated that. It was awful. It's so disorienting to like look at your arms and know you have arms, but you can't feel your arms. And that's one of the things about post-traumatic stress disorder, and I think other emotional disorders as well, is it's not just that you have the symptoms, but on top of it, you have your feelings about those symptoms, which are like total panic often. And for me, looking back, I think my feelings about the symptoms were equally as bad, if not sometimes worse, than the actual symptoms themselves, because I just was constantly judging myself and feeling like I was weak and gross and a bad person because I just couldn't like snap out of it.
So you had like this kind of negative self-feedback loop going on.
Exactly. And it's not anybody's fault. It's not my fault that I felt that way. I mean, we're socialized to not be very empathetic and compassionate to people who just like can't get it together, right? Like the stigma about mental illness in this country is enormous. And so once you've internalized that stigma, then you turn that stigma on yourself, and it's really debilitating and painful.
When it comes to PTSD, I think a lot of us think of it as this very individual experience. There's a profoundly traumatic event that you go through and that triggers the disorder. But it didn't really work out that way for you. In a way, you kind of almost inherited this trauma through someone else, which makes me wonder, is PTSD contagious?
Well, if you are in a house with a person who has post-traumatic stress disorder and have written about this, both in magazines and in the book, yeah, it does impact you. And there is a phenomenon called secondary trauma, where being around a traumatized person all the time can become traumatizing for you, which it sounds sort of weird when you just are kind of explaining it. But if you think about it, I mean, if you think about the impact of being around and being in a space with a person like that all the time, and you can sort of start to tiptoe around them, you know, because it's very unpredictable, so you don't know when they're going to be fine or when they're going to be set off. Of course that can be traumatizing. If you really think concretely about what that looks like, it makes perfect sense.
Are there specific personality traits that make a person susceptible to PTSD?
I mean, everybody has been through traumas in their lives. Statistically, almost everyone has been through traumas in their lives. Like, you certainly have. I certainly was before this. Even if you don't think of it that way, you know, because you were fine and you moved on with your life, so you don't dwell on it. But it happens. The thing about post-traumatic stress disorder is that they think, yes, there are some factors. One of them is that you've been through trauma before. Could be that you have, like, no emotional support system. Like, having gone through trauma in your childhood is one of the big factors that contributes, they say, you know, to making you slightly more likely to be traumatized. But at the same time, even if you had none of those factors, you could still get post-traumatic stress disorder.
Hmm. How big a public health issue is PTSD?
Well, this has to be highly estimated, right? I mean, it's extremely hard to count. But if you say, you know, 7 to 9% of Americans have PTSD at any time, it's a fairly significant portion. But if you consider special circumstances and events, people who live in violent neighborhoods and who grew up in violent neighborhoods, their proportion is higher, of course. But if you think also after Hurricane Katrina, for example, there were points at which like a quarter of the population was suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. That's huge. If it was a disease, you know, if it was measles or something, I mean, that would be like a full-scale health epidemic.
Mac McClellan's memoir is called Irritable Hearts, a PTSD love story. She talked with Doug Gordon.